The Mighty Whites podcast is recorded at the Don Benison Recording Studio in Allerton Bywater. For more information, visit donbenison.com or email info@donbenison.com.
Hello and welcome to the Mighty Whites podcast, episode 3. We are back once again with KC in Portland.
Hello.
And a couple of feet from me, Connie.
Hello.
It's kind of weird that I introduced the guy who's not here first.
But yeah.
Oh well, you always save the best till last. Or at least make sure the worst is first.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Which is why I introduced me first.
Well,
A fair bit has happened in the last 2 weeks, once again. It'll be much easier once the transfer window shuts, won't it? We can just fly through this.
Yeah, definitely.
But, great, because I have no idea who any of these people are that keep turning up.
Well, when we get to be under-23s, that'll be what we've got to say about all of them, I would think. Well, we've had a few go out. The Belushi deal that we made a big deal out of in the last podcast went through officially about 24 hours afterwards, I think.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
But I'm just glad that's done and we don't have to talk about him anymore. The first proper transfer, Marco Silvestri. He's gone out to Verona for an undisclosed fee. What do we all reckon?
I'm not shocked by it, to be honest with you. We've got Fiedveld, we've got Green for now, and Peacock Farrell. Yeah, good luck to him. He did a decent job for us. He had his flaws, but there's a decent goalie in there, maybe. So, right thing for both parties.
Yeah, it's not surprising he went once we got Green in and signed another keeper. Bailey Peacock Farrell's still here, so he's definitely run down the pecking order. When we first signed him, we thought we were onto something. He pulled out some good performances, but I think once he'd been linked to that Charlton game with the six dropping out, He'd definitely fallen in our estimations. I don't wish him any ill will in any way. I just wish he'd learned to run out and tell his defenders he's going to try and catch a cross.
Yeah, one of the things with that deal is the Peacock Farrell loan deal to Oldham that last podcast we talked about for a while, because it was absolutely nailed on to happen, didn't happen. And he immediately flew out to Austria to join up with the first team squad as soon as that deal started happening.
The thing with that happening with me is that if Green's going to stay, which I hope he does, Peacock Farrell's still got to go out on loan somewhere, unless something's going on behind the scenes with Rob Green that we don't know about, and then I'd be more than happy to have him there as a backup option to Weidwald. But we'll just have to see how it plays out. I just hope he gets the football that he needs next season, be it either with us in cups or out on loan in League One. Either way, he needs to get out and play some football, be it with us in cups and as backups of Weidwald or out on loan in League One.
Yeah, you've got to think Rob Green, because he'll still be on decent wages, he's going to be at least the cup goalkeeper. Be interested to see what happens with him. Still, I mean, there's not really been a whole lot of talk about him leaving. But, yeah, I don't know for the wages he will probably be on, how happy people would be for him to be here playing 6-7 games all year.
Yeah, I'm sure something will happen with one of the two, I'm sure, won't be here come start of September. Someone who's not here anymore at all is Lee Irwin, who's gone up to Kilmarnock, which is a good thing for all parties involved, I dare say.
I said in last one with Lee Irwin, he hardly set world alight in SPL last time when he were with Motherwell. He looked like a rabbit in headlights as far as playing for us were concerned. Did all right at Oldham in League One in an average team, so it's best thing for him, go back up home and see how he gets on there. He apparently scored the other day on his debut for Kilmarnock, so it kind of laughs in my face at what I'm saying, but yeah, as far as we're concerned, good deal.
Yeah, at least it's kind of framed as well if we if he has any level of success and we can still make some money off it, so at least as a deal that's looking towards the future, best of luck to him. It just didn't work out.
Yeah, no one's sure exactly what the deal is, I don't think, but it had Adam Pope on it that was saying that there's definitely some add-ons and future fees and stuff based on future performance, which is the best we can have. I'm assuming there's no upfront fee at all, to be honest. It'll just be we don't have to pay him anything. And as long as that's the deal, that's fine. We haven't had anyone else actually go out, I don't think, but the Charlie Taylor deal has avoided a tribunal. And it sounds like we've got a much better deal than we were expecting, to be honest.
Yeah, between 6 and 7 million, it seems fair enough for someone who went out of contract. As we said in the last one, I don't really want to say too much more about Charlie Taylor. He didn't want to be here. He's gone. We've got a decent amount of money for him. Move on.
Yeah, for a player that's out of contract, you'd take 6-7 million. I'm sure after Burnley saw how the tribunal went with Danny Ings when he went to Liverpool, I'm sure they were keen to not have the same thing happen to them. So, yeah, we get the 6-7 million as alleged, and hopefully it goes into the coffers. And we can get one, maybe use it on one or two more if we need to.
Yeah, I would assume that of that 6-7 million, it's not all up front. I dare say a lot of it's conditional. England appearances, Burnley staying up, him making 50 appearances, that sort of thing. A bit like a Football Manager deal when you haven't actually got enough money. If I was going to guess, I'd say probably about 4.5 million up front, maybe.
Yeah, sounds about right.
And if we've managed that, I don't think we've done too bad. And another seamless transition. Another thing that I think we've not done too bad on is getting in Matthew Pennington on loan from Everton. Well, a deal which happened about 24 hours after we recorded the last podcast, and we didn't have any clue about any of it beforehand, showing again how much better the club's been run lately.
Yeah, he seemed to come in as Belushi went out, but sounds of it. From what I've seen of him against Gladbach and since, it looks solid enough. He had a good year. He had a good start, even at Everton. I believe he was on loan at Tranmere. Could be wrong on that one at some point. He had a good run there. He's had a couple of other loan spells, and yeah, be good to see how he steps up to playing for a big club in front of a big crowd. But I think he'll do well. I'm happy with him being here for a year.
I think we were relieved as well when it turned out it wasn't Michael Dawson, because the picture that had been taken of him that was doing the rounds did bear a striking resemblance to Michael Dawson, and I'm a big fan of his, but at this age, with the amount of injuries he's had, you were kind of looking going, oh no, really? So, you know, it was quite nice that it turned out we got a young, fair, injury-free defender in who looks like he's going to slot straight into the first team. I still think we need that little bit of extra cover, but it's good now that we've seen that. I think we'll probably be heading towards that Pennington and Janssen partnership at the back. I'd be pretty happy with that.
Yeah, I did actually tweet out that picture saying that to me it looked like Matthew Pennington. I got a few responses saying it's Michael Dawson, which I was amazed because I never recognise anyone by the face. I'm terrible, so I can't believe I got it. But just a thing for everyone listening to think about, KSA just described him as injury-free, so if he gets crocked after the first game, blame him.
Yep.
Sorry, everyone. I've ruined it already.
The other ins we've had since the last podcast are a little bit of a hodgepodge because we don't know much about any of them, really, because they're all for like the under-23s and stuff like that. We talked about Alejandro Machuca and Adrian Balboa last time. They are both here because they both played against Taddy Albion and Scarborough.
What a come down for them.
Yeah. In fairness, Machuca was Vallecano, and I can't remember where Balboa was. I don't think it was a top division club. It's not like the other ones that we've got. So we've got Oriol Rey from Barcelona, who's a centre-half apparently, 2-year deal. I haven't seen anything confirmed, but he did play against Scarborough. By the way, just speaking of those two games, because we're not going to cover the under-23 friendlies, 1-1 draw with Tadcaster Albion and a 1-0 win over Scarborough, and both his goals were that youngster, that Jamie Shackleton, He got a little bit of play with first team, didn't he? Last summer they took him on a couple of trips.
Yeah, they took him away pre-season. And, yeah, it's like you said, you know, under-23s, it's always, you know, no one really knows for certain how they're going to work out. This centre-half, you know, if he's come from Barcelona and he's come through their academy, you know, there's a decent chance there could be something there. So, see how it plays out, yeah.
He's not the only one that we've got from Barcelona. We've also got, and good luck with this, Kun Temenushkov is, I think, how it's pronounced. He's a 17-year-old striker from Barcelona. The Google translated articles I've seen from Spain and Bulgaria seem to rate him fairly highly, but other than that, no idea. Every single headline always says highly rated young striker, but that could be bollocks. We've no way of knowing. And when we signed Usama Siddiqui, who's 19 from Real Madrid, I've seen a couple of stories saying he might be the first one we send out to Cultural Leonessa after this feeder club agreement. Morocco under 20 international, who again, I've never heard of, and I'm assuming none of us have.
No.
I can't say I know all too many Morocco internationals generally. So, under 20s, I'm definitely struggling with.
If he's half as good as Mustafa Hadji, we'll be in luck. Maybe we'll pick up a use of Cheapo afterwards.
Cheapo.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we've got a couple of lads on trial as well. We were hoping, as Connie's family's all Irish, we might know something about Aidan McIlduff, who's been released by Celtic and come in. He spent 11 games on loan at Queen's Park, which is either Scottish League 1 or League 2. And I think it's League 2, but I'm not 100% sure. But you don't really know that much about him either, do you?
No, very, very little. From what I've heard, he seems quite rated at Celtic, but that's as far as I can go with him, really.
Yeah, and then lastly, there's Boban Lazac, who's apparently a left winger, came through at Ajax, went to Olympiakos, played for youth teams, played for a few Dutch second division teams. He's another one who the deal came through because he posted a picture on Snapchat of him in the training gear and at training. It's a very weird thing to say about all these ins because there's, you know, 6-7 people and I don't know who any of them are at all.
At least with this Boban Lazac, if that's how you pronounce it, at least he's been around. You know, you look at some of the clubs he's been at, Ajax and Olympiakos, you know, he's played most of his career in Dutch league. It's a pretty mixed bag really, isn't it? From there, they're either great or they're really not. If he's only there on trial, then, you know, it is worth having a look at. You know.
Doesn't cost us anything. And he's the one that if we are going to sign him all, he's the one you'd expect to get near the first team first because he's about 23. Like the other ones are all quite young, but he's a bit older. So if he's not going to be good enough to play this season, there's no point signing him.
I'm going to put it out there now. Next Jordan Bataka. It's based on absolutely nothing.
Well, it's more than either of us have offered, really. It's a prediction, I suppose. The more interesting stuff is transfers that could still happen. There's still been a lot of talk about Flint, and I still think a lot of that is down to him being mates with Ayling and then flaunting it. But apparently Harry Redknapp's come out and said he wants him at Birmingham. And if there's a few sniffing about it, probably means that it's probably going to go somewhere. But I'd still be very surprised if it's us.
Me personally, I'd love Aidan Flint at Leeds. If we're not going to get Bartley, and it looks like we're not anywhere near, he's proven at this level, he chips in with goals. He's done it in a Bristol team that's not the best, let's be honest. I'd love him at Leeds if it could happen.
I mean, I think the thing that, for me, when we're looking for a defender is we do need to be looking long-term still. You know, I think I'm very happy having Pennington there, but with the way Everton have been run over the last few years, I imagine they will probably want him to be in and around the first team within the next year or so. So we do need to have a more permanent addition in. Flint would be think would fit in. But whether he then features that much this season or not, I don't know, having not seen enough of either Pennington or Flint. You know, whether we look to go for someone younger to come in as the backup for a year while Pennington plays, I don't know. But from everything I've seen of Flint, I would quite like him in.
The other, well, another centre back that's been quite heavily linked is Philip Hollander from Bologna. A lot of this is down to him having the same agent as Pontus Jansson, Martin Dahlin. And they're friends going back a lot of years and stuff, aren't they? So there's a relationship there, so it could work out well. And Bologna have signed 3 centre halves this summer, so they are overstocked in that department. And I also read somewhere else that the reason that Bologna actually signed him was it was a contractual obligation at the end of a loan or something. So I don't think he's that much in the plans, so there's a chance to it.
I suppose the one thing you'd have if we did bring him in, he's friends with Jansson. They play together in Swedish national team. So there'd be that bit of, you know, companionship, really, if that's what how to put it.
Camaraderie, maybe?
Go with that. Let's go with camaraderie. Yeah, there'd be that there. I mean, obviously, he struck up the partnership with Bartley last year, and I think bringing someone in who he knows and who he's friends with, it can only help. And if he settles well and forms a good partnership with Jansson, then, yeah, be good for us. But, again, we'll just have to see, because I can't see us getting Flint and Hollander. But either one of them, I'd be happy with.
Do we know anything about Hollander's disciplinary record at all?
I think better than Jansson's, and that's about all I know.
My disciplinary record.
I was worried.
Yeah, Connie, they're about to say that his disciplinary record's better than Jansson. That's a lie.
I call bullshit.
How long was it that your longest ban was in Sunday League, technically?
Oh, God. 7 months, I think. I did play under a lot of different names.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not that it matters, but allegedly.
Some will say.
Well, on the subject of Concannon, or left-sided centre-half that sometimes played at full-back, we've been linked a bit with Cameron Borthwick-Jackson, who plays those, but those seem to have disappeared a little bit. And after the reviews he got off Wolves fans last season, I don't particularly want him, to be honest.
No, he looked okay when he kind of came through at Man United a couple of years ago under Van Gaal, but he didn't pull up any trees in an average Wolves team last season, so if he don't come, I wouldn't be bothered, to be honest with you.
Outside of having Cameron Borthwick-Jackson and Bailey Peacock-Farrell in a team and is trying to find another couple of players with double barrel surnames to make it a bit more difficult for commentators, I'm not that interested in him, to be honest. I think we can do better.
Shock horror, the private school kid loves having these posh double barrel surnames in the club. Leeds want to be careful going near players with double-barrelled surnames. Didn't we get destroyed by a couple of them against Histon?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, the last one I've seen linked, it was mostly in the Irish press, this one. Matt Wilson from Bournemouth, ex-Stoke, and he was on loan at West Brom last year, but he'd be a good signing in theory, but he's missed the majority of the last 3 years with various injuries. I think he's had a broken leg and done his knee ligaments, so it'd be a bit of a risk.
It'd be one of them with Mark Wilson. He's been solid in Premier League for a good few years now, but as you say, when you've had injuries like that and you've missed the amount of time you've missed, it's always going to be difficult to come back and perform at level that, you know, you were before. If it were alone, it wouldn't be as bad, but it depends how much, you know, of his wages we'd be having to contribute towards. In theory, it's a decent signing, but I think his injuries had, for me personally, put me off.
Yeah, I think when you're bringing in someone of that level, especially into the championship, then you need to have a guarantee that you're spending your money well. And if we can't guarantee that, then it's not a risk worth taking.
It's important to point out, because usually the go-to for Leeds fans is Adam Pope or Phil Hay, but Phil Hay's been on holiday, so he hasn't said much. But Lee Sobot, who I have met a few times, and he's a nice guy, and does know his stuff. And he does know his stuff. He says that Leeds are keen and in talks for three players, and it's none of the ones we just mentioned. But he doesn't know who they are.
Yeah, we're doing a really good job at not leaking names left, right, and centre, apparently, which is can only be a good thing. Doing things professionally, almost.
Oh. I've deliberately left out one name that we've been quite heavily linked with, our Lovett shop, because I just think it's bollocks. I would be fucking amazed if we were to sign Alvaro Negredo.
I'd be amazed for a different reason. Reported wages of £100,000 a week. It's just not going to happen. I overheard a couple of blokes down at Elland Road talking about this deal and whether it had happened or not, saying that, you know, Valencia would have to subsidise half his wage. Where do Leeds get £50,000 a week from to pay for someone? Personally, I'd sooner get two younger lads in, you know, that would cover the £50,000 a week probably that we'd have to pay. But for me, it's a no-goer for me with Negredo.
I mean, he was surrounded by quality players when he's played in the Premier League, and he's not done that well, so I don't know why anyone would think it'd get any better for him in the Championship, where he's just going to get roughed up a bit more. I wouldn't have the confidence in him to perform highly enough to make him a worthwhile signing. So it'd be a no from me anyway.
You see, my issue isn't with his ability. He'd definitely be good enough in Championship and stuff, but it's like, what, we're going to pay £8 million and then shell out 50, 60 grand a week? For that, you could get Flint and Hollander, or you could get Flint and Joe Bryan from Bristol City as a left-back. Or you could sign two or three. Now, with the way the market is, more likely two good Championship players for that money. And they won't be in their 30s either. If it was, he's coming in and it's £1 million, he's 20 grand a week, then yeah, snap his hand off, sign him. But he's just going to be too expensive.
Yeah, definitely. You know, even if Valencia, you know, if it were to all happen and Valencia were willing to subsidise, you know, majority of his wage, you're still talking about £25,000, £30,000 a week you're going to have to pay him. It's going to be one of the biggest earners at club, if not the biggest earner at club. And I just don't... It won't be a sensible move for me.
No, it would reek of being a bit of a Ridsdale deal, wouldn't it, really?
Yeah, very.
Well, we briefly mentioned it earlier, but one of the other bits of news is we appear to have a semi-official feeder club. I haven't seen a story out of the club itself, but everything seems to be there for it to be true. Cultural Leonesa, which I'm probably pronouncing terribly, they've just been promoted to the Spanish second tier, I believe.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, and they've got a lot of strong links to that Aspire Academy in Qatar. They've got four or five players that have come through it, and Ivan Bravo's a director with them, isn't it? So it does all kind of make sense.
Yeah, it's somewhere to, you know, send these young ones out on loan. We seem to have had an influx of them coming in from Spain and wherever else. So it's nice to have somewhere where we can send them, where, you know, it's more to their culture, shall we say. Gives them, you know, a good chance to play a decent amount of football. And, yeah, it's just nice to have somewhere to send them instead of just... We've heard now for years about all these under-23 prospects, and, you know, you don't see half of them. They just disappeared into wilderness. So it's nice to have somewhere to send them, I suppose, where they can go and get a bit of football under the belt.
It's no knock on Geisley either, but you don't really feel like you're benefiting too much by sending some of the youngsters out on loan there. It just isn't a high enough standard. I can understand players dropping down one or two levels, but I think once you get in there, it's, you know, it's too far removed from what you are trying to prepare them for. So I think this deal will also give them a much more competitive chance to get some first team experience. And I'm really looking forward to us sending some 18-year-old British lads on an extended holiday.
Yeah, that can only go well, sending a load of 18-year-old British kids to Spain.
Worked well for Jack Grealish.
Yeah, fair point. Can just imagine Jamie Shackleton passed out in the street. Mind you, though, he's still too young to drink, so he'll pass out even quicker.
So long as he doesn't go smashing up a McDonald's like Lee Bowyer, then everything's all good.
Is that one even allegedly?
Nah, it just happened.
Ah, right, fair enough.
Is it Lee Bowyer assistant manager now?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's assistant manager at Charlton. I don't think we mentioned that, did we?
No.
No, he's back.
He's dragged himself after away his from his fishing lurk.
You beat me to it.
That was a really weird story when I saw that. He's retired and he's running a sport fishing lake. It was in France, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, actually, I might, because this is a transition, I might as well use it. They're changing a lot of the look of Elland Road. I'm assuming that all three of us have seen the pictures from the planning permission and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Very futuristic.
Yeah, well, I just Lee Bowyer being in it, and think, because they've got all these banners with all some of the ex-greats, and then one of them's got DeCara at the for the number 11s, and it's just a bit depressing, really. And I just was thinking about how good Lee Bowyer was.
He's also in a bracket now with Gary Speed.
However bad it is having DeCara on the same poster as Gary Speed, I think it looks fairly good. It's a bit of a, I like the side before self, a big banner at the top of the stand that they're looking to do. I like the ideas with the banners with the new players, with the old, just not with certain players on there. And it looks as if they're doing out the east stand, south stand and the northeast corner, which all does need doing, and they're doing a load of stuff inside the west stand as well. I think it all looks really good, but I know, Connor, you're not as big a fan of it, are you, really?
It needs to be done properly. We're in danger of it looking a little bit tin pot if it's not done right. You see these banners that go up outside Wembley when there's cup finals on and stuff like that. That's fine, I can get behind that. But, you know, there's a difference between having it at an FA Cup final and, you know, when you're playing Burton Albion at home in Championship and you're looking at a 100-foot-high poster of Suleiman Dakara. It could look really bad, but, you know, we'll just have to see how it comes out in the end, but hopefully it'll look good. I mean, it does need a little bit of work doing on the outside. It does need a little bit of, you know, touch-up work here and there, shall we say, on the outside at ground. So hopefully it might, you know, brighten place up a little bit, but, yeah, they're just going to have to be really careful how they do it for me.
Do we know what number they're going up to for these things in terms of like the squad numbers? Because I'm just wondering if Ross McCormack's going to have his own banner.
I assume they're just going to do 1 to 11, but I don't know for certain. There's other ones that they could do.
Just think, if they do number 17, we could have Andy Fay on there with Alan Smith.
Imagine, so Andy Fay and Alan Smith. That would be a solid banner. We still haven't got a number 17, have we? Chilino's superstition has carried on. We still haven't got number 17.
No, haven't, no.
That needs to be next signing. It needs to be number 17. Write his name in purple.
Have they done squad numbers yet?
Ish. I went down to club shop a couple of days ago to get the new away shirt, and there's nothing up there, so...
I saw Clish playing with number 43 on, so that's him with his own banner as well, right next to Ross.
Well, on the subject of the away kit, seeing as you just brought it up, I really like it. It's not traditional colours at all, and the intellectual argument of it should be the club colours, I agree 100%. However, I still think it looks good. And as an overweight guy, I like black kits.
I love it. The minute I saw it, I think it looks great. I know there's a lot of talk with changing club colours and badge and what have you. I don't agree with it on home shirt whatsoever. It's a nice enough kit, his home one, but the changing it badge colours, it doesn't sit comfortable with me. I'm more open to it on away kits. End of day, it's purely so you don't clash. Yeah, I get what you're saying. You know, we should incorporate blue and yellow in there, but we have still got the blue kit from last season. We've got that as a third this year. I like it. I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's my favourite away shirt since the Lazio shirt all them years ago. I think it's that good.
I'm still big on the blue and yellow away shirt from last season. I really like that shirt. Big fan of this away shirt as well, to be fair. It's nice. I'm glad we haven't tried to do anything extra with it, like the Dayglow pinstripes or anything like that. It's just nice and plain. Sponsor looks fine on it. Again, for the away kit, I'm starting to come around to the idea of being able to change the colour of the badge. I'm happy with it. I prefer the blue one, but I'll probably end up getting the black one as well.
Matt, you've got the lovely kappa patterns going all the way up your sides, right the way up to your armpits as well.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, there's a couple more bits of news that have happened away from the pitch itself. We've got a new academy coach replacing Jason Blunt, who went to go manage some team that plays in a field in Cornwall. I can't remember what it was called. It was Marsh Hole or something like that.
Something like that, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. That he must have just missed his family or something. That's a really strange move.
Either way, good luck, Jason.
Yeah, good luck. You're fine. Bear you no ill will. We'll just never understand. But yeah, Carlos Cabreran, new academy coach. He was a head coach in Cyprus last year, which I guess makes sense with Christensen. But he was assistant at Villarreal for 6 years, and it was the 6 years where they were good, where they got to Champions League quarters and they got to Europa League semis, and they had a pretty good run. And he was only about 26 when he got that job. So they must have thought he was the next big thing in coaching, and it just must have not happened, but hopefully he will be the next big thing for our academy.
We're saying he's Gus Poyet then. He's the brains behind the operation.
Now that he's with us, yeah, he was always the brains behind the operation. He's the man. Until he decides that we really need to bring back Billy Whitehouse.
You've got to have a look at him, haven't you, and give him a chance. If he's been assistant manager at Villarreal in that little spell when they had, you know, a good run in Europe and they were challenging at top of La Liga, there's obviously something there with him. So just hope he can carry on tradition with his academy and bring through some good prospects for us.
Yeah, it was a good side, that. That was the side that had, like, was it Marcos Senna in midfield and stuff like that?
Yeah, like with Calme and all that lot. Yeah, decent team, yeah.
It was kind of weird the way they announced it, actually, because they specifically said on the website it was picked by Bravo Orta and the academy manager, Adam Underwood. And it said at the bottom, he is currently studying a doctorate in football, specifying in high performance. A doctor of football, who knew that was a thing?
Well, I did. I went to university for it for a year.
Was it football that you did? Or was it
football in society? There's a university course for you.
That, and there were a Celtic manager in the 90s called Dr. Joseph Venglos. We all remember him. I can see by the look on your face there, Jack. You know, he had a major impact on football and he was a doctor of it.
I consider myself a bit of a football nerd and I do not remember him at all.
He wasn't very good. He made John Barnes look half decent.
Oh, just because it's a chance to mention it. John Barnes, who constantly complains that he doesn't get any jobs in football because of the colour of his skin. No, it's because you managed Celtic and took him to third. That is why you don't have a job. And it also gives me a chance to mention the greatest headline in sports history. When they got beat by Inverness Caledonian Thistle.
Yes.
Super Cali Go Ballistic Celtic are atrocious.
Yes.
It's the best headline that's ever been written.
We can stop recording the podcast now. That's just been Jack's dream to say that.
I'm just glad I didn't stumble.
I think we can wrap it up now.
The only other decent-sized bit of Leeds-based news. It isn't really Leeds news, but it has an association, and it did blow up all over press. And anyone who follows Vinnie Jones on Twitter will know what I'm about to bring up. And I'll say now, he says that he was hacked and that it was a disgruntled ex-employee. Fair enough. But Vinnie Jones posted a picture of 100 dead foxes that he'd gone out and shot. And so when he'd been out lamping, and said said something along the lines of, "Is there a better night than this?" Now, I don't really care about any of this, but even if you could be the most pro hunting person in the world, and you know that's not a good idea to post on Twitter.
Yeah, it's a controversial one, but you know it kind of ties in with the whole Vinnie Jones demeanor, really, doesn't it? And with you personally, no. You know, it has no bearing, really. But, yeah, anyone with half a brain would realise, you know, be it a hacker or himself that did it, it's not the best idea.
To be honest, you know what would be really interesting? We should have for those of you at home, Casey's girlfriend is vegan. I'm sure that she'd have found that post very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, for me, just finding out what it actually was, because I completely missed it. I'm glad she didn't see it.
It would have been funny just having Joe explain. So you like this guy? Yeah, he's a hero.
Bit of a legend.
Top Hollywood star.
He did also play in a testimonial, though, where he filled in a goal at halftime for Bruce Grobbelaar.
Can you remember when he rugby tackled Lucy Ward in that friendly? When he went sprinting across because he couldn't tackle her and just rugby tackled her to the ground.
He did what Massimo Cellino really wanted to do all that time.
What, coke?
That as well.
Not even allegedly. Anyway, we'll move away from all the news now because we just needed to cover all that because loads has happened over 2 weeks. But there's been some football. First friendly we played, which was the worst organised behind closed doors friendly in the history of football. A 3-0 defeat to Bursaspor.
Tap the nose.
Yeah, there's a reference. If you get that, seriously, email us, mightywhitespodcast@gmail.com, because that's a reference to a German standard. It was on Fighting Talk, there was Henning Vein and, it was the Leighton Orient fan, Casey.
Bob Mills,
that's it. They were both on the show. And they were talking about how transfer rumours get started and you just say Bursaspor and tap your nose and then it'll go viral. But yeah, we got beat 3-0. They put out a pretty strong team. They're a team that gets in Europe all the time. We're expected to get beat. Apparently, from what I saw, I'll admit I didn't go back and watch the full 90. I saw some highlights. It looked as if we weren't actually that bad. We weren't amazing by any stretch, but we weren't that bad.
Yeah, Bursaspor aren't a bad team. Like you said, they're in Europe, you know, more often than they're not. It's a friendly end of day, you know. It one of the first ones when we were out there in Austria. The result didn't really matter, really, did it? You know, as you say, we didn't make a show of ourselves. I know the result would say otherwise, but from bits that I've seen, they looked okay. And also, I must mention as well, it's the Scott Carson derby.
So it is, Scott Carson derby. Good shout. Oh no, we lost the derby game.
Yep.
Season's over.
Yeah, it does sound, from everything I've read, like it was Bursaspor that screwed up. Because it was behind closed doors, don't advertise it. And then Bursaspor not only advertised it, but streamed the whole thing live. Well, tried to stream the whole thing live until it got taken down by UEFA after about 10 minutes. But just a shout out to, and I can't remember his name, and it did come up at one point on Twitter, but to the guy who just stood at the side of the game, showing it on Periscope while being threatened with arrest.
Fair play to that man. Someone buy him a beer.
Yeah, sometimes you just have to say fair play.
Yeah.
A second friendly was a much better one, and I would say probably the best performance we've put in over pre-season. One all draw with Borussia Mönchengladbach, and it wasn't their strongest team, but it wasn't a terrible one either. They had some really good, they had some good players out there, but we deserved to win this game pretty comfortably. To be honest, I thought we played pretty, I thought we were really good overall.
Me and you watched this on LUTV when it finally got working, but we'll come to that later, I'm sure. I said in last podcast, I'm a big fan of German football, and Mönchengladbach goes without saying they're a quality team, and the team that they put out on paper should have given us a game, and, you know, arguably should have beaten us. Yeah, I agree with you, Jack. Possibly the best performance we're putting over pre-season. Deserve to win it. It would work numerous times. Luke Ayling took his goal well as well. Nice to see him linking up well down down wing with Kamaru, if I believe it was. But yeah, their goal as well, the free kick from Patrick Herman. I don't care who would in goal, it were going in that anyway. So yeah, good performance overall.
He did give away the free kick, but Alioski, I thought, had a really good game in this game. He really showed what he's about, I think. He always looked a threat, and I stick by what I said. I think he's going to be the man this season.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, he's as good a shout as any, really, to be the standout arrival, if we want to put it that way. Yeah, when you're giving a team like Borussia Mönchengladbach the runaround like he did, he's obviously got some up.
His last game in Austria of the tour, we got beat 4-2 by Eibar. I mean, Eibar were 10th in La Liga. It's not the getting beat wasn't really an issue. The first half, though, I know it's only a friendly and it's more about fitness, but in that first half, we were absolutely awful.
Yeah, it wasn't the best performance. I didn't see much of it, to be honest with you. But what I did see from first, well, most of the game, really, it picked up a little bit from what I can see in the second half, but it wasn't great. Like you say, it's not about the result, it's about the fitness, getting used to playing with each other, but just some general playing, some basic stuff that they were doing wrong, it wasn't the best game.
What happened to the Pontus role of him having the free roll when we're defending and just dealing with everything? That seemed to be a good system. I was a big fan of that system.
Well, yeah, against Eibar, we didn't really do defending at set pieces, especially corners.
Well, we actually, me and Casey said was it on the first podcast where we said the one thing that we must keep going from under Monk and Clotet was that we finally sorted out corners.
Yeah.
And then in this game, we looked dreadful. I still think his biggest problem in this game was in first half in central midfield. And then when we changed it, and I think Phillips and O'Kane came on at half-time and we were vastly improved almost immediately.
Phillips, despite what I've said about him in the last podcast, pre-season, he's looked all right, to be honest. It's, it can only be healthy for competition for places, I suppose.
Yeah, in my rankings of our centre-mids now, he would be my third choice.
Yeah.
At the minute. And if you want to read me talking more about our central midfield options, why don't you go on through it all together where I've written a whole article about it? There we are, shameless plug.
Oh, that was good, Rob Shaw. That was good. That's why you're running this thing.
Running the show, much like Eunan O'Kane has been in pre-season.
Oh, it's seamless. It is seamless.
Yeah. Our journalism degree is really paying off now.
Yeah, another thing that paid off was the substitution to bring on Alioski in the second half of the friendly.
We've gone too far now.
No, the time that we went too far was in with Stuart Dallas's run against Bursaspor, because he was just offside and his goal was disallowed.
Yeah.
No, but the goals against Eibar were scored by Wood and Alioski. To be honest, I think if it was a league game, I think Woods might have got taken off him.
Yeah,
because it was from such a tight angle, I think it might have been an own goal back keeper.
Yeah.
But the Alioski goal was a really good finish on his weak side as well. Really good ball through from O'Kane.
Yeah. Well, we said at end of last season he was starting to come back to some sort of form, even with Eunan O'Kane, and I stick by it. If Eunan O'Kane's on form, he's a quality player to have in this league. He just lost his way a little bit, you know, throughout middle of last season, but hopefully he's picked back up again if pre-season's out to base it on. And yeah, again, like with Calvin Phillips, it can only be good for the squad.
It's not looking good for my boy Bridcutt at the moment.
Now, for me, he's nowhere near the first 11, Liam Bridcutt. But we'll come on to that more when we talk about the Bolton game. As last friendly, at the time of recording, it was yesterday. 2-0 win over Oxford. Goal from Roof, set up by O'Kane again, and a really good goal from Stuart Dallas. Really good finish. I did watch the game, but one LUTV was being awful, so it was on, so I had to find an alternative means of watching it. And two, I was at work at the time, so I didn't get to pay that much attention. So, Connie, you went to it. I'll turn it over to you for this.
Yeah, it wasn't the best game from Leeds, wasn't the best performance-wise, but it was a decent result in end. Kamar Roof, you know, bagged himself a goal against his old club. Up until that point, though, he had spells where he were looking a bit, you know, bit ropey, and then he obviously came good. Stuart Dallas, quality goal. He's cut across and just arced it into opposite corner. Yeah, it's more the Stuart Dallas that I was on about in the last podcast that we kind of need to see this season for me. I do think that the arrival of the likes of Alioski of giving him a kick up backside by the bit looks of it, and I think it's one that he needed, and for me he was one of the best players. Eunan O'Kane as well, when he came on, when he went on pitch, sorry, played really well, linked up well, his passing were solid enough, he got stuck in as well, so a decent crowd as well, just short of 13,500 I believe, if I remember rightly. Yeah, for the pre-season game against a League 2 team, decent turnout. Yeah, decent game overall, but not the best, but good to see new signings close up. And yeah, if it's out to go by with some at link-up play, it looked good.
Just to be nice to Oxford, did they go up last season? Are they in League 1
now? I believe so, yes.
Yeah,
sorry.
I think they're in League 1 now.
Sorry, yes.
I wasn't 100% sure, I was genuinely checking.
No, sorry, yes, I stand corrected.
Said the man in the orthopaedic shoes.
Exactly.
Yeah, Dallas's goal was, that's a lovely strike. That's the sort of thing I want to see him do more often this season, is, you know, cutting inside and killing those in with his right foot. You know, we have seen him do it before. Let's just hope he can produce it a bit more regularly this season.
Well, now that the friendlies are out of the way, we have got an actual real football game a week from today as of recording. Opening game away at Bolton. Came up last season from League One, which, you know, they've done well to come, because they were like really not that far off being completely financially knackered, weren't they? So they've done okay to come back. Signed a couple of players, but no one that major. They've signed Adam Lafondre, he's bound to score a few this season because he's a good player. They've signed Will Buckley. Remember him?
Unfortunately, yeah.
Can either of you, which loan, didn't we send a loan back to Sunderland in order to get him on loan from Sunderland?
I think so.
I can't remember who it was.
No.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
They've also signed Sammy Amiobi on a free.
That's a decent signing for me. For a team that's, you know, expected to be in lower reaches at league, I think Sammy Amiobi even has got some at that level as well. And also Adam Armstrong. Get him playing, he's, you know, he had a decent, you know, term for Barnsley, I believe it was. So there's a couple of decent signings in there, but you wouldn't expect them to be pulling up any trees really next season, would you?
No, I would think, well, we'll come back to where we think other teams will finish and stuff like that. But really, if we're serious about doing up this season, this is a game that we should win.
Comfortably for me, yeah.
Yeah, I know they'll come up with some, you know, with high expectations, having just drop down for a year and then come straight back up, and I think they'll be looking to try and kick on a bit. But realistically, we should be getting a win against a team like Bolton just coming up. We look like we've got a decent squad, plenty of them still have the championship experience. So we should be getting a win here.
Yeah, well, now's the time, really, that I need to explain one of the things that we're going to do on this podcast this season. We're going to do a predictions league between the three of us. And whoever's bottom at the end of the season, we're all going to go out and get absolutely smashed at the end of the season. And whoever's bottom has to pay for it. Are we all good?
Yeah, I'm in for that.
I'm going to have to take out a loan for this, but yeah, sure.
Right, cool. So basically, if you get the result right, 2 points. If you get the correct score, 5 points. So to do the first one, Bolton away. Connie, what score do you reckon?
I'm going to go for 2-0 Leeds.
I am going to plump for 2-1 Leeds.
Well, I won't do it every week, but you do know what I bet on every Leeds game. So for the first one, I kind of have to say 3-1 Leeds. But yeah, that's going to be his thing all season. We're going to keep track of it. And we're going to add as a pre-season predictions in to that for a certain number of points as well. But we'll do that at the end. Then the following Wednesday, we've got Port Vale at home in Cup. They went down last season, having sacked Bruno Ribeiro halfway through the season and replaced him with Michael Brown. So it was a bit of a Leeds connection. They've still got Michael Brown as manager, so I assume that we, in what won't be a big crowd, we will hear the number one is Michael Brown.
I wonder if he'll give us a wave.
Probably with his middle finger.
I think he'll give us a finger.
Yeah.
So yeah, they went down last season. I guess my biggest question with Port Vale at home in League Cup is, do either of you give any semblance of a shit?
No. Bigger fish to fry this season for me. If it were me, I think this is what will happen anyway. It'll be a game for the likes of your Tyler Dentons, your Ekibans, your, you know, them sort of players. Peacock Farrell, if he's about, or Green. I think it's a game to get them lot a bit of game time under the belts, but for me, League Cup's an irrelevance to me this season.
So in Connie's mind, once we get to the quarterfinal, then this competition kicks in for him.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, well, I would think that it will be a much weakened side. Like, if Anita doesn't play, he will probably be... If he doesn't play against Bolton, he will probably be the biggest name in the team for this one. Because I'd be amazed if Wood starts... one of the centre-backs will have to play because we haven't got anyone else.
That's a point.
Because Janssen's suspended for that one as well as the Bolton game.
Yeah. See, that's one good thing about playing Port Vale at home in Cup. You know, it just gets a game out of way, doesn't it, for Janssen?
Yeah, well, we will do a prediction for it. Not that it really matters. I will go 2-0 Leeds.
I'm going to go, just because we've put out a weakened team, I'm going to go 1-0 Leeds.
I'm going to go 4-0.
Fair enough. Nice bit of confidence.
Yeah, I think we're going to go out there and get a few goals. I think it'll be dead by 60 minutes. I think it'll be a nothing gamer sort of in the second half, but see us going out there smashing a few goals in the first half.
I hope you're right.
Yeah, I'd love you to be right, because I've got to go to that game, leave, go straight to work and work a night shift, so it'd be better if I'm in a good mood.
Yeah.
It's third game of this run, and the last one that we'll do, because we'll have another podcast out before the game that follows it. First home game at season in the league. Preston at home. 11th last year. They've got a new manager, so the one... There was only two things I cared about with Preston. They had Simon Grayson as manager. He's not there anymore. And they had Jermaine Bedford, and he's not there anymore.
Yeah.
So I really don't care about him at all anymore. But in fairness, Alex Neil, although it didn't stay great at Norwich, I thought he did a good job for a while. They've signed Declan Rudd for keeper, and he's a good keeper. And they've got that Josh Harrop on loan from Scum. He scored on his first start, didn't he, in Premier League last season. And they rate him pretty highly. So he's probably some good. Maybe we'll crock him, I don't know.
Yeah.
Do they still have Kilkenny and Huntington?
No, Kilkenny's gone back to Australia, I believe, with Melbourne City. They have still got Paul Huntington.
You say gone back... He is from London, though. He's not gone back.
hang on a minute, he bosses their midfield now because he, you know, England missed a trick there and he didn't get to boss ours.
But yeah, I think they do still have Huntington though.
Yeah, he is still there.
God, when we signed him in League One, I thought he was going to be absolutely brilliant.
That man scored in the UEFA Cup game with Obafemi Martins for Newcastle.
Just think, we had a League One... Did they ever play together? Did we have a League One centre-back partnership, both of whom had scored in Europe?
Michalik and yeah. Huntington, yes, we did.
Yeah, Dogan said, did they play a game together?
Yes.
Because, yeah. Didn't Michalik score against Bayern?
I think he did, yeah, for Bolton, yeah, when they beat him, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, KSA, we'll let you have first prediction on this one.
I'm going to go for a 1-0 win.
I'm going to say 2-1 Leeds.
Right, we can't all predict just Leeds to win every game. So I'm going to be really pessimistic on this one. And I'm going to say that we draw 1-1.
Fair enough.
There is one
we
can
predict Leeds to win every game. We'll be wrong, but we can predict it.
Yeah, that's very true, I suppose. I suppose now we've done the predictions out of way, and I just wonder. So, what would both of your teams be at Bolton for opening day? Because I think it's not going to be far off what we saw against Oxford.
For me, I'd go with Vardwald in goal, Ayling, Pennington, and Cooper, unless we get someone in this week, be it Flint or someone like that, provided that they've had a pre-season under the belt.
Yeah, for this, we'll assume we're not signing anyone.
If, with things as they are now, the back four, which we had against Oxford, of Ayling, Pennington, Cooper and Berardi, I think that's as good as we're going to get at the moment. In midfield, with the two holding, I'd personally go with O'Kane based on pre-season. And I think you've got to try and get Ronaldo Vieira in there somewhere for me. The front four, Ru Fernandez, Alioski and Wood. Correct me if I'm wrong, but if Samuel Says is fit or anywhere near, there's an argument that maybe Hernandez might go out for Says, but either one of them, and Ruf, Alioski and Wood, I don't think you're far off for me. I think the only two out of the Oxford game that have got question marks over them for me would be Phillips and maybe Hernandez, if Samuel Says is available.
Do we know if we have any more under-23 friendlies this week?
Off the top of my head, I'm afraid I don't know.
I was going to say, because I think that would also be an indicator to see who would be featuring and who wouldn't be, but yeah, I think from the team that played Oxford, I think the only change I would possibly make is Vieira coming in for Phillips, but I honestly think that is probably going to be his starting lineup on against Bolton.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I think it will be the same team. I'd only make one change. I'd bring Vieira in for Phillips as well. I agree with you on that. For the first game, as much as I have said the whole time, don't play Hernandez away from home. And I kind of, but the difference is with Bolton, we should have out ball if we're playing out like.
Yeah.
I would be fine with Size playing, but he hasn't quite looked fully fit.
No.
So for now, I'd have him on bench and bring him on with a bit to go. The other thing that I've seen a lot of people saying on, well, no, what I've actually seen a lot of people saying online is that we should play Jansen because they're not paying attention.
Yeah.
But the one that I've seen a lot of people say is that because Liam Cooper, I can understand why he gets stick, but he gets a lot more stick than I think he deserves.
Yeah, definitely. He's a solid backup, but at the moment, you know, we're kind of having to make do at the moment. So, you know, until Jansen's back or someone else comes in, there's worse people that we could have there.
Yeah, I've seen a lot. The thing that a lot of people are saying is that we should drop Cooper, move Ayling into centre-back and play Anita at right-back.
It's a possibility. I won't be too adverse to it happening, but Cooper's a natural centre-back. I know Ayling can play there, and he's done a decent job for us when he's played there, but, you know, either or, they'd be, you know, bringing Anita in at right-back, it's a again, I come back to strength in depth. It's a good headache to have, really, isn't it? When you're looking at, you know, if that's your alternative, bringing in someone like Vernon and Eater, it can only be good.
I think we lose something going forward as well, taking Ayling out from right back. He was a very good player going forward for us and created a lot of chances. And I would want to see us take that out of the team, especially against a team like Bolton. You want to be, you know, taking the game to them, creating chances. And I think he's a good player to have at right back for that.
I couldn't agree with that anymore, actually. Especially with Berardi being at left back, who's not going to bomb forward on the other side. I think it's important for us to have the width from Ayling. And Alioski and Roof both drift about a bit. So, and I'm assuming they're both going to play on wings. But to be honest, if it's Dallas, he does. Sacco doesn't, but I'd be amazed if he starts.
Yeah.
Right, now for the bit that could make us look very foolish in a few months. We've got to do our predictions for the season. We are going to be putting this in addition to our correct scores and correct results in the table for the drinks. We'll start off with a simple one. Hull be Leeds United. It'll be 10 points this one. Hull be Leeds United's top goal scorer this season.
If we all say Chris Wood, can we all agree that we're going to go for the second top goal scorer?
I agree, Chris Wood. KC?
Yeah, Chris Wood.
All right, second top goal scorer. Connie, you can go first.
Kemar Roof.
KC?
Alioski.
I agree with KC, Alioski. So, what we'll have to do is at the end of this, write these down.
Yes.
Because otherwise that could be a right pain in the ass. Second of all, we'll go Player of the Year, also 10 points. I'll tell you what, I'll go first on this one. And anyone who's heard me talk recently, I'm between two.
You're like me.
I'm between two.
And I think it could be the same two.
Okay, I'll be honest, I'm between Alioski and O'Kane.
Ah, no, it's not. Nowhere near.
Because I think O'Kane's going to have a really good season this year. There's a thought. How old is Esjan Alioski?
He's 25.
He's 25. Right, then, I'm going to go for Alioski. Because we've also got to do a young player of the year. If he was under 24, I was going to go for him for that. So, yeah, I'm going to go player of the year, Esjan Alioski. Con?
I'm torn between two. It's between Pontus and Ayling. And I'm going to go for Luke Ayling, player of the year.
By the way, this is a weird time to slip this in the middle of predictions, but I've just realised we forgot to talk about it, and we are going to edit it in afterwards or something, because that's just dull. We didn't talk about who should be made captain, seeing as Liam Bridcutt's nowhere near the team.
Luke Ayling.
Luke Ayling, I completely agree. KC?
Either Luke Ayling or Eunan O'Kane, I'd go with it.
Yeah.
Fair enough. We'll just throw that in because we forgot to talk about it, and we may as well. So, yeah, KC, your player of the year.
Kemar Roof.
So we've got Alioski,
Ayling,
and Roof. Okay. Young player of the year. I can't see it not being retained.
Neither can I.
By Ronaldo Vieira.
I'm going to go Calvin Phillips. I think if he's in the starting line regularly, I think he could be in with a shout with it. So I'm going to go Phillips.
Fair enough. That one's 10 points as well. Because those three aren't that out there, Will. We will come back to where Leeds will finish and stuff, because that's kind of...
It's a good way to end it.
This one's only 5 points. Will Tom Christiansen last the season?
With Radrizzani there, yes. Provided we're not catastrophically bad, I'm going to say yeah.
I agree with you. Yeah, it will be a yes. If it's all yes, then we don't even have to factor it in, really.
No.
I was going to say yes, because I don't think the expectation is for us to even, you know, I don't know if the expectation is for us to even finish in the playoffs this season. So, as like you say, unless we are battling against relegation after a few months, then I can't see it happening.
All right, fair enough. Well, we've all either got none or 5 points. So, Right, this one's a bit more complicated. We're going to do promotion and relegation from Championship and relegation from the Premier League. We're not going to do promotion from League One because if all goes to plan, next season we're not in the Championship, so it doesn't matter.
Hopefully we're not in League One either.
So what we'll do is we'll name three teams to go. We'll go down from Premier League, down from Championship, and then up from the Championship. 5 points per correct one you get. But if you get the positions right as well, you double it. So 15 points if you get all three, but if you get them in the right order, 30.
Yep.
Hopefully that's not... That was explained right, wasn't it? You can tell what I meant.
I understood it, so you'll probably be fine.
Ah, yeah. If KC understands it, then it is officially idiot-proof.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you what, KC, we'll let you go first, Premier League relegation.
Pretty sure we're all going to predict one of these things the same, so I'm going to be the first one to say 20th place Huddersfield. 19th place I think is going to be Swansea, and 18th place I've just got a feeling Crystal Palace.
Interesting. I'll go in next just because I've got two of those exactly the same. I have 20th Huddersfield, and in 18th I have Crystal Palace. And then for 19th, I'm stuck between two, which is weird. You'd think it'd be for 18th, but I've got this weird feeling that Palace are going to go down on the final day. I'm stuck because there's two teams that I think could go down. I think it's Burnley or Watford. And I'm going to go with Burnley in 19th.
All right.
For me... Huddersfield to come 20th.
So we've all gone for Huddersfield to come bottom.
Yeah,
Huddersfield... We're not bitter. We're not...
No, all is fine. Normal order will be restored next season. It's fine. Huddersfield to come 20th. 19th, I'm going to go Watford. And 18th, just because I think it's going to be kind of a Blackpool sort of scenario that goes on, I think Brighton are going to play attacking football and get found out through the season, and I think they'll just go down in 18th.
Fair enough. I'm surprised only one of us has got Brighton. But when I think about teams going down, I think they'll be fine. I really do.
I don't know. They play good football, but... I can just see it being another Blackpool. They play the right way. They've got a way of playing and they will stick to it. I believe that wholeheartedly. But I just think over the course of the season in Premier League, they'll get found out. I hope they don't because I like Brighton. They play good football. They're good to watch. But I just think they're going to come 18th.
Well, then we'll do to get relegated from the Championship. And this time, Connie, we'll let you lead us off.
Right then. Bottom, I'm going to go for Burton Albion. Second bottom, Millwall.
I hope you're right, but I think they'll be fine.
Third bottom, I am going to plump for Bolton.
Cool.
Yeah.
You said that like that there was a fourth one.
No.
You carried on your sentence going up.
I'll be honest. It will between Bolton and Bristol City. I just think Bristol City are going to go.
They've been threatening to for a couple of years, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. They really have. But no, I'm going to go for Burton, Millwall and Bolton in that order.
Right, cool. KC?
Bottom, I think, will be Burton.
Is that both of you?
Both of us have said, yep. Burton, bottom.
I think... Bristol will go, so I think they'll be 23rd. And you know what? I haven't actually seen anything that's been going on with them, so I'm going to throw out there, I think Nottingham. I couldn't tell you what's been happening there over the summer or anything like that, but after the way they were for a large chunk of last season.
They've sold Bertrand Belonga for £15 million.
That's probably not going to help them at the moment.
Nah, probably not.
It's getting a bit odd, this, KC. Because you're, like, a pretty long flight away from me. Bottom, I've got Burton. And it pains me to do it, because I've got Luke Murphy, and I love Luke Murphy. It's good. But I do think they'll go. In 23rd, I've got Barnsley. Because they must be going to go down again now. They're about due for it.
I think they'll be fine, me.
Yeah. And third bottom, I've got Nottingham Forest. However, I have to say, I do kind of predict them to go down every season because I fucking hate Nottingham Forest. Like, a disproportionate amount. I know Leeds fans don't like Forest, but I really don't like Nottingham Forest. I hate them. They're one of my most hated clubs in England. And it's purely because a load of their fans threatened me when I went to a game, a Forest Leeds game, when I was about 10 years old and a group of blokes were all... So I thought, you know what, sod you. That and the scabs.
Yeah, I just think, though, if you'd have been a few years older, instead of fans giving you a clip around it, it could have been Brian Clough.
Yeah, that's true. And then he'd make me give him a kiss. By way of apology.
Oh dear.
So all three of us have got Burton bottom then.
Yeah, we've all gone for Huddersfield to come bottom in Premier League, Burton to go down from Championship. Bottom.
But to be fair, none of us have anything against Burton.
No, not particularly. No. They do have Luke Varney there though.
Yeah, that and I don't really hold it against Burton us being god-awful when we played there back end of last season.
Oh, good God, yeah, it was awful.
That wasn't their fault, that was our fault. So last one, it's not the last one, the last one of these. Who will go up from the Championship? And I want the first, second and a playoff winner for this instead of positions, obviously. We'll go with KC to start us off on this one.
Ooh, right. I am going to go for, as champions, you know when you look at the teams that are going to go up and you just think, I don't like any of them. I really don't.
Yeah, I've noticed that this season.
I am going to therefore go... I'm going to go for Sheffield Wednesday as champions.
Oof. Oh, I really hope you're wrong.
I do as well. As,
cue the virtual tumbleweed. Jesus Christ.
Well, of the teams I can see winning it, I'm just looking through and there's none of them I like. But I really think Wednesday have got a shout this year. I'm moving on quickly. Second place, I think, will be... I hate this league, I really do. Second place, I'm going to go for Hull.
Oh, Jesus, mate.
I know.
Why don't you just go to Log and say that Huddersfield are going to get into the Europa League and win Cup?
As long as it's only the Europa League, no. I think Sunderland will win in the playoffs.
Jesus. Well, if you're right, then fair play. You've earned your drinks at end of season. I think Sunderland might come like 17th.
Yeah, Sunderland could do a Villa.
I nearly put them to go down.
God, that would be so funny.
I very nearly did put them to go down. But
I believe in Grayson. I've got faith in him.
I don't believe that he can turn their defence around.
I don't believe Jose Mourinho could turn their defence around. They're awful.
Having said that, we've just had a laugh at you. You get to have a laugh at us now. I'll go next. I've got Fulham because I think they were the best team in the Championship last season. They just didn't get it together at the start enough. I do think they're the best team in the league. Fulham. Yeah, I think they're a good side and they've kept hold of the majority.
I think they've kept them all. Yeah. Really?
I mean, they've managed to get a new contract on Tom Kearney, which is unbelievable.
And they've got Tomas Kalas back as well.
I really do think that they'll be winning it. In second place, I've got Leeds United.
Hey.
Hey, good lad.
Which is going to be weird when I give my prediction for our finishing position, because I'm not going to say second. Because I do... I work for a bookies. You've got better odds if you've got two different ones.
Jesus Christ.
Tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah, no, you're not. No.
You're the expert.
And the playoff winner, I think we're going to keep the momentum going. I've got Sheffield United.
That's a that is a bold call. Fair play.
Yeah, the it's a bit weird with league. Like, there's all the teams that there's a lot of teams came down, and I don't think I just don't think it's going to work out. And I think Villa could be anywhere from first to 18th.
Yeah,
I've no idea what's going to happen with them this season. It could happen. So I've just got, I can't bring myself to not think we're going to do well. I've thought the whole time Sheffield United will do well. And I've had several pre-season bets that have got Fulham, like top six and stuff in there. I can't see them not doing well this season. So get your money on them to go down.
Right then, my three to go up from the Championship. To win it, I am with you on this one, and I'm going to say Fulham. To come second, this is going to be a controversial one, is this amongst us all? I know.
Oh, God, not another one.
Middlesbrough.
I thought you were going to say Millwall.
I've bad them to come second bottom.
Well,
you could technically have them as both.
I could.
to be honest.
Spread your odds out.
If I take Hart out of it, I do think they'll be right up there. I just can't bring myself to say it.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Fulham to win it, Middlesbrough to come second, and Super League United to win the playoffs. We're finally going to do it.
That's optimistic. Right. We're going to win a playoff game.
I've got a question for you. If it was guaranteed, like say it's a genie situation, it's guaranteed, would you rather come second or would you rather win playoff final?
If it were guaranteed?
And don't think about... You've got more time to plan for next season if you come second and all of that stuff. I mean, just for a moment, would you rather just go up in second or would you rather win the playoff final?
But if it's guaranteed, playoff final every time. If it's not guaranteed, yeah, you want second, you want it over and done with. But if you're guaranteeing it either way, to have that moment at Wembley, definitely, playoff final.
I've followed Leeds long enough now. I know you said guaranteed, but I still couldn't.
To be honest, I think if Leeds got to another playoff final, it might actually kill my dad. Like this time, it might actually do it.
I'm thinking along the lines of third time lucky.
So yeah, there's one more for us to predict. Leeds United's finishing position. For all of us, it was five. For this, if you get it dead on, 25 points. And the nearest of us gets 15.
Right.
Are we all good with that?
Yep.
Yep.
Right, cool. So I will let Connie go first on this one.
I've got to back up what I've just said. Leeds going to come second. Sorry.
That's what I said.
Yes. I have got to back up what Jack just said. no, I have got to back up what I've said. Leeds will come in playoffs and I'm going to say they'll be fifth.
Fair enough. KC?
I think I'm probably going to be the downer on this one. I don't think we're going to make the playoffs this year. I just think we've made a lot of changes and I think it might take a little bit of time to gel. But I think we will finish seventh.
So you've gone seventh. Right.
Don't go sixth.
Why would I go sixth? Then I get one position and you both get a load.
That's fine.
That would be the worst thing to do. As you said fifth, if he'd have said sixth, I would have definitely said seventh just to be a dick. But if he's saying fifth and seventh, then I will go... Do I be optimistic or do I be sensible statistically? Because I obviously want... I'm a Yorkshireman, I'm cheap, I want my beer.
You want it for free?
Yeah. It's tough. You see, the thing is, I would have said fifth.
Sorry.
Because that's what I went last year as well. But there is no point in doing that. So it's whether I say... You know, I'm going to say, as I've got second, I can't say anything less than sixth because it'll piss me off. So I'm going to say third.
Cool.
Which don't give me many.
All right.
And gives KC nearly all the fucking league. Like, what I should have said, really, is he went 7th. I should have said 8th.
Yeah.
That's what I should do mathematically. But I just can't bring myself to do it. So, no, I'm having 3rd. So, we all think, in the stupid, optimistic way that we always do at the start of the season, we all think that we're either going up or nearly going up.
Yeah. There's not going to be too much different from last season, I don't think.
Well, we'll... I'm just waiting for, like, a podcast in sort of October when we're 19th and Burton are 6th.
Burton are going to do a Huddersfield.
And Huddersfield have just won at Old Trafford. When we're all sat here and Casey's actually back in the country, so we're all sat here in person just crying.
I'm going to go out there now and say that if that scenario happens, I won't be sat here doing that. I just don't think I just won't leave house, if I'm being honest.
Well, that's all his predictions for the season. I now, unlike the first podcast, I now have several things to plug. So you can follow us on Twitter at Mighty Whites Pod. We're at mightywhitespodcast.com. The podcast is also on Stitcher and iTunes and SoundCloud. Our writings is on the blog at mightywhitespodcast.com. Me and KC will also be contributing to Through It All Together, which I'm sure a lot of you will follow on Twitter, but if you don't, you should. It's at Through, spelled T-H-R-U, It's All, L-U-F-C. I'm doing that from memory. If it's wrong, Pete, sorry. Is that everything that we need to plug?
I believe so, yep.
Yeah, well, if it's not, on Twitter, I'm at Jack Robshaw of LUFC. Casey's at Chris Too Lawley. Connie doesn't use Twitter.
No.
He does have one, but he doesn't use it, so there's no point plugging it.
No.
But thanks very much for listening. And if you disagree with us or want to call us a moron, you can attack us on Twitter by all means. It's fine. And thanks for listening, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Bye.
Yep, see you later. Oh, that was good. That was good, Robshaw.